Sophia's love for animals dates back to when she was a child, but she was not always a dog rescuer. She found herself treating dogs here in Oroville after she moved from the US. In this interview with Sophia, we discuss what it is that drives her to single-handedly go in and around Oroville and treat dogs suffering from scabies and maggot wounds, and why it is important for the entire community to recognize that they're treatable diseases.
Well, I saw Life of Pi, so I wanted to come to Pondicherry and ride a bicycle down the street. So I did that. And so I think for whatever reason, I have no idea why I chose to come back to this area. But I did. That's my answer. It's sort of a non-answer.
And another was, how do you recognize a dog that either has maggots or mange?
They'll be scratching a lot and they'll be starting to lose their hair. There'll be incrustation around the ears.
It's mainly around the ears.
Yeah, and little, you'll see the body is scabby. It'll start a dog with no hair, you know, has mange. So sometimes there is something called allergic dermatitis, which is different. And there actually is a test with the ear that if you rub the ear in a certain way and the leg jerks, that's, you know. A lot of these dogs are traumatized. They're afraid to come close to you. They can be difficult to treat because they're being chased away. So they don't usually have people encouraging them to come, severe dogs. So I will usually put a gravy pouch of pedigree, I'll just pour it out on the ground, and I'll put a tablet of ivermectin in it, and I step back, you know, and...
And the pedigree usually brings the dogs closer.
Yeah. So it's the loss of hair and the scratching. Okay. Yep. Puppies, you'll see the mites on them. And it's obvious that will become mange if it's not treated. So these puppies at the village are very treatable right now. But if we don't do it now, they're gonna be like the dog I treated yesterday, which is really bad. Maggot wounds, it's a wound. It's a wound. And if you see it's really big, you know, and it goes in deep. They're always wet. You can look, if you can get near the dog, you can see sometimes maggots in there. But it's just a really horrible looking wound. It's not a cut. A lot of times, like I said, on the tops of the ears, on the back. Brother Bear had one on the inside of his leg. They'll get them on their backs, their ears, their heads. There's a dog over here that had one in its cheek that we treated.
You tell me about maggot wounds.
Oh, maggot wounds. So the dog will get an injury or a cut, and it will be in a place that it can't lick clean. Now, that's not all the time, but that's often. You'll see them on the cracks of the ears here, the eye. The terrier that we found in Cullasnugger had maggots around his eyes, and he had a maggot wound in his back. So he could have been hit with a rock. He could have been bitten by another dog. You know, it's difficult to tell. And I have pictures I can show you. So they burrow in, you know, and they just eat away at the dog. And it's very painful, you know. So I was looking for lost puppies. All I had was my scarf with me at the time. And we went running after this dog because I found him in a bathroom. Surrounded by like bird carcasses. I mean, nobody used this bathroom. It was in a park there. Just cowering in the corner. So I gave him immediately food. I gave him ivermectin. And honestly, he was in such horrific condition. It's like I'd only seen one other dog with maggot wounds that severe. And it just astounds you every time. It's like, oh my God. You know, you have to kind of process in your head.
What are the basic factors that cause mange or maggots? Is it the climate? Is it the atmosphere that they're living in?
Mange is caused by a wound, and a fly lays an egg in it.
Okay.
So I'm sure in more tropical climates that, you know, you don't have, flies aren't out in cold weather. Mm-hmm. So in a more tropical climate, you're going to have more flies. The mange is caused by the scabies mite, and they're just in the environment. But if the mother dog has them, then the puppies are going to have them. People can get it too. I mean, you'll see in the Gypsy Village, they have the kids have scabies and dermatitis.
Okay.
So that is, and so, you know, it's good to have that healthy environment.
Right.
That's what causes those things. And they're born with internal parasites. Or as they get older, they can eat food or whatever that has parasites in it. That makes it worse. And then we went back in, and he had come out, and we started chasing him down the street, and everybody scattered that was in the street because they're terrified of this dog, because they don't understand the dog is not dangerous, you know, but you can see how bad its wounds are. Anyway, we caught him, and we took him to Bark India, which is a local rescue. So when I find a really bad dog that I can't treat on the street, I take him to a rescue, and I pay for his care there.
So just you on your own doing this?
Yes, yeah. So I took him there because his condition was beyond just giving him some medication. And he's also on the run because he's in pain, and they don't stop for very long. So they keep moving, and they're confused. They don't know where we're going. So it's not. I could not go back there and find that dog again. He would have left there. So we treated him. The wounds, the maggots were cleared out.
How much time does it usually take to clear all the maggots?
Well, what you basically do is you hold him down, mm-hmm. and you get a pair of tweezers and you pull the maggots out. So it all depends on how many maggots are there. You spray with the D-Mag. The D-Mag will basically start the maggots coming out. The ivermectin internally will begin to kill maggots inside. So for Josh, I think we probably pulled out around his eye. There were 3 maggot holes. We pulled out around his eye maybe 10 maggots that had gotten in there. Now, that's what we could see. Out of his back, it was probably the same number. And I think I have pictures of in some of his pictures. And then you just begin, you continue spraying it. They go on an antibiotic, and he's a beautiful dog. And I've adopted him. A French guy has adopted him. And he's like one of the really good stories, you know. So you have bad stories, but then you have good stories. So son named him White Josh after my crazy ex-girlfriend, which is a show in the U.S. She's fascinated with American television. So yeah, but if you catch it soon, and what I do is if it's early stages, I give them ivermectin and I spray them, and then I give it, if there's somebody there, a local person that's there all the time, I usually have a translator with me that tells them how to care for these animals, you know, and to continue with the spray. And, you know, then I come back, depending on the severity of the wound, I'll come back every day or I'll go back every few days. But minor wounds can be caught and dealt with. And
before they turn into major wounds.
Before they turn into major wounds. So it's really about preventative care. You know, and then when you find those dogs that are beyond, then, you know, if you're on the road and you're traveling, you just have to accept that you can give it some medicine. You tell them that you love them, and some biscuits and some food, and you usually have to go on your way. But that's hard, but that's beyond, you know, because you don't have vets everywhere.
And you have that sack that you give to locals, right?
Yep.
What are the contents of the sack?
For local people, I usually put D-Mag, which is maggot spray. I put ivermectin.
Mm-hmm.
I put rubber gloves. I put a syringe to put, give, I put dewormer for puppies, so you need a syringe to give that medicine. I put dewormer for adult dogs. I put treats for dogs, and I put treats for humans. So they get a little something in there, too. It's like a Christmas stocking.
Does deworming prevent maggots?
No. They're two separate. Parasites, maggot wounds. Even though maggot wounds are maggots, it's not the same kind of internal parasite that is treated with deworming. And then mange is caused by a scabies. It's a mite. So, yeah, I mean, the amazing thing is, like, when I went to the gypsy village yesterday, they do this. So they know that it's the dog, there's something on the dog, but they can't, I mean, they make maybe 500 to 700 rupees a week, you know, these people. They can't buy medicine,
yeah.
You know. So I feel like it's, and we also do medical camps for animals, which is when I, you know, I have a lot of people that will say to me, why don't you treat humans? And everybody has their specialty. Mine's dogs, mine's animals. But I was riding one day around the corner here by the health center, and there's a woman with a herd of goats. And I had seen the goats in the morning. Now, I had goats, so I know what goats' hooves should look like. I had seen her in the morning, and I had seen one goat in particular, and its teats were full. And I thought, wow, you know, why isn't she, what's happening with this goat? And I was on my way to the farm, and I came back later, and then I was going out again in the afternoon, and I saw it again, and looked at its hooves, and the goat was being crippled. I have video I can show you. Because its hooves curled up. You know, they should be trimmed and not curling up. And that's due to a couple of things. It's they're not walking on the proper surface that is sort of acting as a sanding for the hoof. They can have a deficiency, or the hooves just aren't being trimmed. So I couldn't deal, and this is a female goat. She's a breeding goat, which means she's being bred in this condition where she's crippled. She can't stand because of the hooves. She's giving birth in this condition. She's being milked in this condition. She's walking around with full teats in this condition. And I just thought, this is horrible. You know, this is just another can't drive by this. So I called a vet that I sometimes work with, and I said, we have to come and help me trim these hooves. We went through 5 hacksaw blades on one goat. That's what it took. And then as I was sitting there with this woman, and I thought, you know, and we trimmed another goat's hooves there. You know, I'm a vegetarian, so I have to deal with the fact that I know these goats are being eaten, and that's what they're being bred for. But on the other hand, they're living anyway. You know, so they're living in pain, in agony. And this goat, although she's not completely on all fours now, is much better. You know, she just has one leg now that's crippled because of this. But she has her 3 other legs now that can stabilize her instead of sliding out like they were. And I just thought, so this is really a service. We dewormed all of the goats. This is a service that is kind of holistic and treats the animals and the people because they make a living. This adds to their wallet. So then I started thinking about other communities that might be sort of marginalized or impoverished and might need help with their animals. And they also have street dogs. I mean, the animals, the cats and the dogs that they have are street animals. So we're still servicing those animals. So we've done medical camps in Alankupang, and we will spay, you know, depending on how much money I have at the time. We went to Mahabalipuram, and we did a couple of Arola villages there.
When you say we, it's you and the vet?
I took a vet, and also another friend and son. So anybody that wants to go and experience this can go. The medical camps need a doctor there. Although he's taught me how to give injections now, I'm pretty confident in doing that. But I think they feel better having a doctor. And then he also does a general health checkup for the medical camps. So, and we did a medical camp in the Gypsy village. And they, you know, there's an immediate impact. And so now, like, I'm there yesterday, and they talked to me about more chickens being born, and can I come and vaccinate them? You know, and they show me the puppies, you know, that they know have mites. And I saw this one dog that's really bad there that I treated. And so you develop a relationship, and it's an immediate, we dewormed all their goats, we vaccinated their chickens, they had a problem with their baby chicks dying, and again, they're eating them, you know, but I can't enter that moral, I just want their lives to be better while they're alive, you know, the animals. We treated their dogs, dewormed the dogs, dewormed the cats. I think it's a good thing. You know, so I can't always do medical camps, but when I can, I do. And I like to do them. We were doing 2 a month, so I like to try to do 2 a month.
Okay.
And they cost me maybe about 7,000 rupees each camp. I like to give a sack, you know, a little something to each kind of head. I can't afford to give one to each family.
Yeah.
But, you know, whoever's...
And are the localites more accepting, the villagers, when you give them the sack?
Yeah. I think, I mean, I've been on streets where I can't get the dog to come, and they'll come out and they'll call those dogs for me because they're feeding them, you know. And then you develop a relationship with them. I mean, I go to the gypsy village now, you know, they hug me, they know my name. And the conditions are horrific, but I can't change their lives. And I don't know if they want their lives changed, but I can change the lives of their animals. You know, hopefully try to change the lives of their animals. And it's immediate, you know. There are NGOs working in these villages. I think a lot of people come, and I don't know that the fruits of the labor are actually seen. But this is an immediate thing where you're actually treating on the spot, you know. So I think they really appreciate that. Yeah.
And what about mange? How much time does that take to be healed?
The mange, I give ivermectin to. Depending on, so the ivermectin will kill maggots internally, it will kill the scabies on the skin. Depending on the severity, if it's just starting in the dog, literally you can drop him a tablet,
okay,
you know, and he'll be okay.
Just one. Okay.
Yep. And there's a lot of dogs here. There's a black dog on the corner here of the Oroville Road that had mild mange. I just gave him one tablet. He's better. You have to really gauge the severity of it. But it's to prevent it. When you start seeing that there's some hair loss or there's some scabbing around the ears, then you give them a tablet of ivermectin.
Okay.
You know, if you can get a villager, you know, I get a 10-pack of ivermectin for 110 rupees. And that will treat one dog, one pill a month for 10 months. Or 10 dogs in one shot, you know, one each tablet. So depending on, you know, if you're somebody traveling into a situation, you know, you just have medicine with you, you have surplus, you take the sacks, and then you determine there what you need to leave with the villagers. How many dogs are they treating? Who's the person treating them? How responsible are they? You know, can you communicate with them? And this is the sack, which I think you saw.
I've seen the sack, yeah.
So, you know, and what I really noticed too is kids love these, you know. So if you put like kid-friendly treats in there,
yeah.
Because if you can impact the next generation, you know, and you impact how they view animals, and just a little education and a little love goes a long way. So I love when I see kids put these on their backs, you know, and they've had this experience and interaction, and I hope it serves, you know, the saying, you can feed a fish, you can feed a man for, you know, give him a fish and he'll eat for a night, or teach him to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. So it's the same thing. If you can give a little bit of knowledge, you know, then maybe you can change the level of compassion and understanding for the next generation. So it's always good. I love when the kids come around. And they're always, of course, you know, my being a foreigner doesn't hurt.
And
like,
people are usually afraid of going near dogs than
yes.
maggots, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then nobody goes towards the dog, and the dog eventually dies.
And they chase it away.
Or chase it away. Or
right.
Close towards it.
If it's not treated, it will die.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it has to get treatment.
Yeah, the human psychology, I think, deals with fear over here, right? Because they haven't seen such a thing. They don't know what this is. Something unnatural. So,
well, and I think they see it, but they don't understand it.
Yeah.
So, you know...
And they aren't told that they can do something about it at the same time, I guess.
Right. And they don't, yeah, they don't know. I mean, unless they're told, they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, if you're living in an environment where you don't have, you know, you don't have the knowledge about dogs or cats, then how are you going to know, you know, things happen? And the level of education, I think, in critical thinking in more marginalized populations is not as great. So they're not connecting dots, necessarily.
And is it harder to deal with puppies as compared to adult dogs when it comes to treating?
You know, for adult dogs, you can give a tablet. I will only give, if I see a really severe puppy, like I saw yesterday, I will break that tablet in half or quarter it, depending on the size of the dog. Otherwise, you have to spray the dogs. And if they're really bad, like the dogs in the Gypsy Village right now, the puppies, I will spray them because that's an immediate, that will immediately kill most of the mites. Brother Bear that you saw, he was so, and I've never done this, I had literally dozens of mites crawling up my arms. And I sprayed him. The minute I sprayed him, it was like a swarm. They were coming out, they were all over me. I asked for a bucket of water. I literally dunked him in a bucket of water and just to try and wash off and basically drown as many as I could. Got him back out, dried him off, more coming, dunked him again. I mean, I didn't dunk his head underwater, I'm not drowning him. And then I dried him off and then I sprayed him again. But I felt that I had it at a manageable. I didn't really know, I'm not a vet, but I just thought, get as many off now because I actually can't. The fipronil is a poison, you know, so you don't want to overdose. I like to try to be careful. So then I sprayed him again, and he had, you know, I could smell. The maggot wounds smell really bad. I could smell, even just when I picked him up and didn't examine him, I could smell that something was rotting, you know, and it was, he had a real bad maggot wound. I sprayed that with DMAG. Probably, I think, 6 maggots just came right out of that. And I brought him home, which I don't normally do. And you see him. I mean, he's beautiful. You know, he's really, yeah. I do like to treat dogs on the street, I believe. In a lot of ways, street dogs, if they have food and they're healthy, they have a better life than my dogs. You know, they have greater variety of food. They have more freedom. I mean, there are... I don't try to adopt all these dogs out. It's just an impossible problem. That's to me, feels... insurmountable. So I try to treat them where they are. If they're healthy, I leave them where they are. You know, but there are some dogs that just, they grab me, you know. So yeah, him I brought home, and he'll probably live in front, you know, with my other two.
Would you need volunteers anytime soon when you go out there?
Always.
All the time?
And it's, yeah, I try to go twice a week. And it's pretty exhausting, usually, because you're out in the heat. But it's an amazing experience, and it's not just an amazing animal experience, but you're going into villages. A lot of times I just get on my scooter and I drive, you know, and I have no real course or path set, but I just drive through a little village, you know, and then people are friendly, some people aren't friendly. But it's a really rich cultural experience, you know, and you're helping the animals on the way. A lot of times people will start bringing their animals to you, you know, and it's really restores your faith, you know. I mean, people are horrific to animals the world over, but when you meet people that are just caring for them,
yeah,
you know, with what little they have, you know, they're sharing a meal. The Gypsy Village, they eat right out of the same plates. They sit, they'll eat out of the cooking pot. But I mean, that's how closely connected they're living with their animals. And that's the other extreme. So I don't normally treat pedigree dogs. If I go into a village and somebody, I had a guy here in Alankupam, had 5 pedigree dogs. And I said, no, you know, you've bought your dogs. You've paid for those dogs. You have the funds, you know, to have them get vaccinated. Another guy brought 2 dogs to me. They were labs. He wanted me to vaccinate them for free. And I said, well, I'll spay and neuter them for free and vaccinate them. No. So he's using them to breed. And I said, no, I can't support that. You know, you have 2 pedigree dogs. You take them to the vet. You're going to breed her? He said, oh, yeah, I'll breed her 10 times. I mean, it's just, it's brutal. You know, it's brutal. So I tend to stay away from...
Do you know if he took her to the vet?
I have no idea. I know he's breeding them.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I would have done it all free. I would have spayed right there. We had the doctor. We were spaying and neutering. Absolutely get him on the table. But if you're... No. He wants to breed her 10 times. That's what he said. So, that makes me angry.